Thank you for the children's story this morning. I must have had the wrong food plate or the food pyramid when I was growing up. Mine had M&Ms at the top, pizza in the middle, and ice cream at the bottom. And I do remember Alex being a banana. In fact, I can remember him teaching us, try all of us to be a banana. Our scripture passage this morning, if you do have your Bibles, is in the Gospel of John, and it's John chapter 6, verses 25 to 59, a rather lengthy passage this morning. John chapter 6, verses 25 to 59. And to put it into context, this comes after Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 with just five loaves of bread and two fish. And then he's walking on water as the disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee in a boat. And then we get to John chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." They ask him, "Well, what must we do to do the works that God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they ask him, "Well, what sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and you still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven to do my, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those that he's given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us the flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread, whoever feeds on me, will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum. The word of God. Well, we're continuing along in our series, discovering God's will through Jesus' parables. And in some ways, the bread and the wine is not a parable, and in other ways, it is. Especially if a parable is defined as a short story which is given to us by Jesus involving an earthly or a tangible or some ordinary things which are given to us to teach a spiritual lesson or a spiritual truth. In fact, if that's the case, then there is probably not a more important parable in the New Testament than the parable of the bread and the wine. There's so much theology packed into our passage this morning, but as pointed out in the children's story, this morning is World Communion Sunday, where churches throughout the world are celebrating communion this morning. So we're going to focus on the bread and the wine. How one views communion has divided the Christian churches and denominations throughout Christian history. Some churches, like the Catholics or the Lutherans or some other Protestant denominations, celebrate communion each and every Sunday, every time they get together to worship. In fact, for most of them, the entire service is focused on the communion, the bread and the cup. Others celebrate it much more infrequently, whether it be monthly or quarterly or just a few times a year. But it's not just how often churches celebrate communion that divides them. It is often how they view the elements themselves. Roman Catholics believe in a theological concept called transubstantiation, which means that they believe that when the priest blesses the bread and the cup in a very specific manner, then the bread actually becomes the body of Christ, and the wine or the juice becomes his blood. In fact, for Catholics, in fact, many of them don't even know that, but if you read their catechism, it says if they don't believe that, that they should not even be participating in communion. And you might ask, well, how do Catholics come up with a belief that seems so absurd? Well, the truth is, they draw a lot of it from Jesus' own words from our passage this morning. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Well, Mennonites and other Anabaptist Christians, as well as many other Protestant denominations, see communion as more of a memorial. In the account of Jesus' Last Supper recorded in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus commanded his disciples to do this in remembrance of me. Hence the words at the front of our communion table. But in each of the three versions of the Last Supper instituted by Jesus, recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus specifically refers to the bread as his body, and the wine or the juice as his blood. So was the bread and the wine that was there on the night of the Last Supper when Jesus was actually present, was that any more or less his actual body and blood than it is when we celebrate communion today in an appropriate, God-honoring manner? You see, with many of the theological concepts and beliefs that have divided the church over the centuries, especially when they seem to be divided in the extremes, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. And I think that truth is how we are supposed to view communion. Yes, it is something that we are supposed to do as a memorial of what Jesus has done for us, a memorial like none other. But I also think there's much more to it as well. When done in an appropriate God-honoring way, then the earthly physical bread and the wine or in the juice, becomes the spiritual body and the blood of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. The resurrected Jesus actually comes to live in our bodies through the Holy Spirit, which is an extension of the incarnation. God came to earth in the earthly body of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Likewise, we as believers of Jesus Christ have the opportunity of the spiritual God, the spiritual Jesus, living in us, which is really what a parable is all about. Jesus taking something that is common to life here on earth, and there isn't anything really much more common than bread and wine, and giving it a spiritual meaning. You see, there is mystery involved here. There is mystery involved in communion, just as in many of the other concepts that Jesus introduced, whether it be baptism or how one specifically comes to faith in Jesus, how much is by God's power and how much is by ours, or Christian marriage, or how exactly are our bodies going to be resurrected? Or communion. You see, if there wasn't mystery, then we wouldn't need any faith. And the Bible tells us it's only our faith that saves us. Truth be told, most of us, earthly, common human beings, especially those of us that need to have it all figured out, we don't do very good with mystery. And I think, unfortunately, when we do that, we miss out on a lot, especially being able to see God at work in the world, in our lives, when we do. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you on this very special day in which many, if not most, of the Christian churches in this world are celebrating communion. And Lord, we also acknowledge that we don't have it all figured out, that it's hard for us to grasp the concept that this earthly, simple, ordinary bread in this juice becomes your body and your blood in any shape or form. But Lord, we come before you this morning and we partake in them, recognizing that you work in mysterious ways and you work through the Holy Spirit. And in some way that we do not fully understand, when we partake in the elements, you are present with us more than in any other way. And so we partake in the elements together as your body here at Oak Grove, acknowledging that we do that with many of the other churches, not just in our only denomination, but in all the other Protestant denominations, in the Catholic churches, in all the other churches in the world. And may it all be in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who did break his body and the one who shed his blood on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and for all those who come to him and believe in him and receive the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us stand and join our hearts together as we prepare for partaking in this mystery that is the salvation that comes through Jesus. We're singing Jesus Messiah. Redeemer, Emmanuel. are humbled and in awe at this mystery of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we don't fully understand what that mystery is when we take the cup and the juice, or the cup and the bread, Lord, but we know that you're present in spirit, and God, that by taking it, we are remembering your promises, what you have done and what you will continue to do. Lord, we thank you for those promises. We lay all this at your feet in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. You may be seated.